We all want to be happy, so what does the Bible say about finding true happiness? Find out today on Bold Steps with Mark Job.
You will never be happy until you realize I'm poor in spirit. I can't do it without God. And I have the right perspective of I'm a beggar that needs the presence of God. And happiness is a byproduct of my understanding how much I desperately, desperately need God.
And welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and on yesterday's program, Mark revealed the surprising key to unlocking true happiness. It isn't more money, more fame, or more freedoms. In fact, it isn't more of anything. Instead, happiness, according to the Bible, is found through something Jesus described as being poor in spirit. It requires a humble, honest understanding that everything we have and want is ultimately found in the goodness of God, not our own works. Now, if you weren't able to hear the start of this important lesson based in Matthew chapter 5, let me encourage you to visit our website and catch up by going to boldstepsradio.org. But right now, here's Mark Job with today's lesson, How to Attract Happiness.
The people like Judas Iscariot and the Pharisees, they judged Mary. They rebuked her harshly. They thought that she was a fanatic, extreme, because Mary knew that she needed Jesus and there was nothing that she could offer. They didn't know it. And so they looked at her act as a waste. Listen, they looked at what she poured on Jesus as a waste. Hello, let me say that again. They looked at what she invested in Jesus as foolish, a waste, fanatical. Can I tell you something? There are people around you that are going to look at you when you are poor of spirit, and they're going to think that you're way too extreme. They're going to say, you mean you go to church every Sunday? Man, you must really have a lot of issues, because I only have to go maybe four times a year, and I'm good with that. But you have to go every week. Wow, that's extreme. You mean you read your Bible every day? That's a little crazy. And you do worship stuff, raise your hands, go like that. That's a little fanatic. All I need is a little. You must be really, really bad, because I really don't need God that much in my life. You know why? They're not poor in spirit. If they were poor in spirit, they would realize there's nothing good inside of them. They're desperate for God. There's nothing that they can do to save themselves. They would try to bang at the doors of the church every day, come to God all the time, read their Bible, because they are desperately, desperately bankrupt inside, and they know it. They know they need a Savior. People that are not poor in spirit think they can save themselves. People that are not poor in spirit aren't desperate for a Savior. You see, Judas, 2 days later, would kiss Jesus' betrayal. And he was the one judging the woman. The man that was religious, but not poor in spirit. I believe that oftentimes, when we're poor in spirit, others will think we're way too focused on Jesus and way too lavish, excessive in our worship, in our pouring out, wasteful in how we come to Him. Number three, write this down. The poor in spirit do beautiful things. I love what Jesus said, by the way, in verse 6. Leave her alone. Have you ever told someone that? Leave her alone? Your kids are picking on one of the other kids, you're the youngest usually, and we say, leave her alone. Leave them alone. They're bullying, picking on, laughing at, saying stuff. And there's a protectiveness I see in Jesus. This woman is lavishly pouring out Jesus, and they're rebuking her and castigating her. And she's not saying anything, not defending herself. And Jesus says, leave her alone. He looks at He's the guest of honor. He looks at those that are accusing her and says, leave her alone. And look what else happens. He says to them, why are you bothering her? You think that she's too lavish? You think that she's too extreme? You think that she's too expressive? You think that she's going overboard? Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done, oh, I love this. She has done a beautiful thing. Think about this. When else in all of Scripture does Jesus say, oh, that's beautiful? This is unique. It makes me say, Jesus, what do you think is beautiful? Oh, she has done a beautiful thing. Can I tell you? It got the attention of Jesus, and he calls it beautiful. God has created us to appreciate beauty. When we see beauty, it causes us to stop and point at it. I was down in Florida not too a while back, and I noticed there was a bunch of cars at a certain place, and I thought, what's going on there? Is there a party, something going on, some sort of concert? And someone told me, oh, no, it's the sunset. You see, everybody comes down to see the sunset right there, and so everybody parked to see the sun setting. And then when the sun sets and the colors are out, people just stand there and look at it and point and just are enjoying the beauty, because when we see something beautiful, it causes everybody's attention to be drawn to it. We have museums that house beautiful things, and people travel from all over and pay money to go in there, and you know what they do? They don't interact, they don't color, they don't do anything. They come and they look at beauty. I was in the Louvre before, and you have the Mona Lisa, and I was like excited to see the Mona Lisa. So much talk about it, and I expected it to be a big painting. It's really not that big. It's just kind of a little thing, but people are looking, and there's dividers so you can't get too close, and it's a little painting, and people are looking at it and looking and pointing and trying to take pictures, although you're not supposed to. Why? It's a beautiful thing. Have you ever been somewhere and you see a rainbow, and then suddenly you say, hey, look, there's a rainbow. You don't even know these people. They're strangers, and you say, hey, look, there's a rainbow, and everybody stops, everybody turns around, and everybody says, let me get a selfie. Why? They've just seen a beautiful thing. When there's something beautiful, it attracts attention. It draws us in. We hear music that's beautiful, and we want to listen to it. Have you ever said something, wow, this is beautiful? Let me coach you husbands a little bit. You should say, yeah, my wife all the time. Come on, give them a little, go ahead. Yeah, just something beautiful. Yeah, I'm sitting next to it. Just giving you a little coach there, little coaching. You know, once in a while, I'll tell my wife, I'll say, wow, you look beautiful. And she'll say, I know, and then walk by. Okay, there's a woman that's confident in herself. She says, I know. It's like, wow, okay. Let me tell you what beauty does. God has created you with the desire, the attraction, the focus on beautiful, because God is a God that's a creative God. Why do you think where rainbows are in the sky? Why do you think colors are in the world? This could be a monochromatic world which has no color to it. It could be black and white. But God created beauty because beauty speaks to a creator. You see something beautiful in nature. Some people say, what draws me closer to God is nature. What is it about nature? It's the beauty and grandeur of nature that reminds us that there's someone behind us that created this. And when people see something beautiful, they ask themselves, who did this? Who created this? Who's the painter? Who's the musician? Who's the artist that put this together? When you see something beautiful in the spiritual realm, it reminds you that there's a God that has created this in this person. It points to the beauty of God. When this lady, Mary, poor in spirit, poured an alabaster on Jesus, little did she know that she was doing something prophetic. She didn't know that Jesus would be betrayed and that he was about to be crucified and put in the tomb. But Jesus knew that God had put this inside of her, that she was actually perfuming his body for burial. She didn't know what she was doing, because sometimes when you are poor in spirit, you come to God, and there's something about being poor of spirit that actually causes you to be led by the Spirit of God to do things that you may even not know how beautiful they are. But you emptied yourself of yourself, and you're full of God, and so you do beautiful things that God points to and says, ah, that's beautiful.
You're listening to Bold Steps and our Bible teacher, Mark Jobe. And Mark will be back with a message in just a moment. And he's right here in the studio with me. And I want to share a listener comment in a moment. But I do want to remind you that you can always access our daily programs and catch up on anything you might have missed on the radio by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Or listen straight from your phone or smart device by opening up your podcast app and subscribing to our podcast. Search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And we've been hearing some really encouraging feedback from listeners. Mark, listen to this comment. I listen to Mark Jobe, Dr. Mark Jobe, every day on my lunch break via Moody Radio. Sometimes I revisit the sermons through this podcast. There you go. I'm grateful for Mark's faithful and consistent preaching of God's Word. It's often the encouragement I need midday to set my mind on things above. I love how clear and straightforward Mark's teaching is on our new life in Christ. Double exclamation points. Dying to the old self, putting on the new. Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Well, I want to say I'm glad to do lunch with you every day.
Yeah,
so it's a great thing. And thanks for that word of encouragement. We really, really like to hear from our listeners, because I don't know that I'm doing lunch with you every day. And
But now you picture that, don't you?
But now I picture that, yeah. Right? And it really encourages our team to hear your feedback. So thank you for those testimonies. And again, if you want to leave a word, a testimony, a question, you can always go to
boldstepsradio.org.
There you go.
Or give us a call and leave your Bold Steps story or comment, maybe your brief testimony on our recorded line by dialing 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011. All right, now let's return to Mark's message, How to Attract Happiness. Here again is Mark Jobe.
You know what? My desire is that we would be a beautiful congregation. My desire is that people that have experienced, people that are poor in spirit, do beautiful things. People that are poor in spirit know that they need the grace of God. So many people are turned off by religion because they get hurt by people that are not poor in spirit and attend religious services. When you're poor in spirit, you know, I'm broken, I'm forgiven, and I need God. And listen, when someone walks into a building and they fall short or have a bunch of issues, people that are in poor in spirit don't say, hey, why are you coming here? You got issues. Get out of here. You need to get your act together. People that are poor in spirit say, hey, I'm one of you. God has forgiven me. I have nothing either. God is the God of second chances. Come on in. May he heal you. May he forgive you. May he touch you. We become a community of healing. We become a community of love. We become a community that embraces people, walks alongside of people. Why? Because we understand that we are broken, very broken, and that we need a Savior. If we're not poor in spirit, then we look at other people and say, you got messes in your life. You got problems in your life. You don't belong here. You have to reach a certain status of having your act together. When we're poor in spirit, we all know that we're beggars together needing the grace of God. So we love people, encourage people, reach out to people. We give people second chances. Why? Because we understand we're poor in spirit. And a congregation and a community of faith that's poor in spirit does beautiful things. The world starts looking at them and say, whoa, that's amazing. Who's behind it? Oh, it's a God that's full of grace and power that's behind it. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing. And I love this about it. He says, the poor, you're going to have with you. I mean, we should do acts of service. It should be part of what we do. But our first act should be towards God himself, towards Jesus. He said she did what she could. And by the way, can I just remind you that the Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world, the weak things of the world, to confound the wise and the strong. The problem with our strength and our wisdom and our ability is that when we have too much of it, if we're not careful, we start to take the glory to ourselves. And that's why the Bible says that God has chosen the weak, the foolish, the things that are despised. Why? To bring to naught those things that are, so no flesh should glory in his presence. So God has done that so people can't say it was me. We have to say it was God. I'm talking about the pursuit of happiness. You see, you will never be happy until you realize how broken you are. You will never be happy until you realize how desperate you are for God. You will never be happy until you realize I'm poor in spirit. I can't do it without God. And so my brokenness leads me to pursue God. And I have a right perspective of I'm a beggar that needs the presence of God. And happiness is a byproduct of my understanding how much I desperately, desperately need God. And then lastly, the poor in spirit tell the story of Jesus. Verse 9, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Don't you love it? The dignified men around the table, we don't know their names. The people that paid for the meal don't know who they are. The undignified, poor in spirit, we know her name, Mary. 2,000 years later, in a church, in a place where the gospel of good news of Jesus is being preached, guess what? We're telling the story of a woman that broke the alabaster box, that dried the feet of Jesus with her hair, because Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, they're going to tell this story as well. This beautiful story of someone that knows what it means to be poor in spirit. And I believe that that's the way it works, is that when we are poor in spirit, when we truly are poor in spirit, we do beautiful things. And the beautiful things that we do tell the story of Jesus. Because we realize that it's nothing in and of ourselves that could have done this. Any good that comes out of us, we have to point to it's God in me. Any compassion that we show and people say, well, you're really loving, we have to say, no, I'm really not on my own. It's God in me. Any good act of mercy or giving that happens, people say, oh, you're really generous. No, I'm pretty selfish, but it's God inside of me that gives me my generosity. You see, we keep pointing back to, no, it's not us. We're just a beggar. But we have received from someone who has given us a lot because we're poor in spirit. Wow, you live a life that's a standard. No, 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 no. I'm really pretty bad. It's the God inside of me. It's his gift. It's his Holy Spirit. It's his cleansing. It's his transformation. I'm just a beggar that's received. All glory goes to King Jesus. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can I tell you this? You will never make it into the kingdom of heaven unless you're poor in spirit. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those that have come to a place in their life that they've realized, I can't save myself. There's nothing good inside of me to save me. I need a Savior. I can't wash my own sins. I need someone to wash them for me. I can't gain an access to heaven. I can't make it in. I can't do good enough. I need someone that's bigger, more holy than me to pay a price that I can't pay. You'll never walk through the gates of salvation unless you're poor in spirit, because you won't realize that you need salvation. You think you can achieve salvation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
And you may be listening today thinking, wow, I have not been poor in spirit. You see, when we're not poor in spirit, we somehow think that we can earn it, that we can do enough good works to deserve it, that we can work out our own salvation on our own. Being poor in spirit means we admit and realize we can't. We need a Savior. And maybe you're just coming to that realization now that I've been trying to do it. It's not working. I can't change myself. I truly need a Savior. And the Bible's clear about this. That's the point where He wants us. He wants you at a point where you realize, I cannot save myself. I'm not good enough for God. The price is too high for me to pay. I need a Savior. And if you're just coming to that realization, I believe that it's an act of faith and an act of surrender that allows us to transition from trying to gain salvation on our own to being poor in spirit, that allows us to enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you've come to that point, I would like to pray for you right now. It's not a magic prayer that changes you. It's the surrender of your heart, the willingness to admit that you need a Savior and coming to Jesus that sets about this dynamic spiritual reaction that allows you to be born again of the Spirit and start a new life in Christ. So if that's where you're at, I want you to pause wherever you're at. You may be driving right now. You may be in a kitchen. You may be at a gym. You may be walking down the street. I want you to pause right now, and I want you to pray this with me. Dear God, go ahead, you can say it out loud. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Today I've realized I cannot save myself. I come to you. Go ahead, say it out loud. I come to you as my Lord, as my Savior. I turn from the way that I've been living, and I choose to follow you. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me from the inside out. Today I surrender to Jesus and choose to follow Him. Father, I pray for the people that have made decisions like that today. I pray that this would be a day of new beginning, a day where those that are poor in spirit would depend on you for their salvation, for their change, for their new start in you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're the God that redeems, that washes us, cleanses us, and saves us. I thank you, Father, that you are the one that gives the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to those that are poor in spirit. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. And if you have decided to make a commitment to the Lord today and invite Him into your life, we would love to hear from you because we want to pray for you and help you take your next steps. So one thing you can do is go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, then click on the My Next Step link on the left side of the page. You'll have an opportunity to connect with someone on our team while gaining access to some great tools and resources to help you go deeper in your walk with Christ. And Mark, whether we have a listener who's a new believer or has been walking with God for a long time, we have another resource we want to equip them with to help you navigate the confusing and contentious issues we face in today's society. You're holding this book. What is it?
Yes, I am. And so for those of you that are Christians already, I want to challenge you to be bold in a generation, even if it causes some contention. Now, don't try to pick a fight.
No.
But engage graciously. But don't allow the voice of the gospel, the voice of the Word of God, the voice of your conviction to be silenced. And so a friend of ours, Erwin Lutzer, who's pastored the Moody Church for 36 years and now is pastor emeritus, wrote a book called We Will Not Be Silenced, where he challenges us as believers not to allow our voice to be quieted or silenced in a day where, well, sometimes what we believe sometimes causes some reaction and tension.
Talk about taking a bold step, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're ready to send you a copy of this relevant and powerful book today. When you give a gift of any amount to support the Ministry of Bold Steps, call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give your gift and request We Will Not Be Silenced online at boldstepsradio.org. You can also mail your gift to us by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then don't forget to connect with us through your Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube account by searching for Bold Steps Radio. When you find us, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our pages when you get there. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and that's all our time for today. But join us tomorrow when we continue our study on the pursuit of happiness with a message about the power of choices. It's an insightful lesson about the elusiveness of happiness. It comes up Thursday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.